Bring forth your word, Lord, that you would anoint him so that that anointing could flow to us. Yes, saturate us today. Drench us today.
Yes.
Take us out into the middle of that river today where we are just swept downstream by your spirit. And Father, we thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. Pastor John had asked me a while back to prepare for a teaching. And I like to practice my teaching on other people, see how their reaction is. We have a young man at work, and he had missed a day of work. He had missed Monday. And he's only allowed to work so many hours. Friday is the day that they're usually off. It extends your weekend. As I explained to him, I says, yeah, but you miss Monday, you're able to work Friday. He says, I got plans. I says, what? I says, this whole thing is set up for your training, for your job, so that you can get a job. I says, weren't able to come in on Monday. You would think that you would want to make up your hours. I had just brought in a Bluetooth speaker that I had purchased. I says, working Friday, you'd be able to purchase something like this. I said, working Friday, we're having a picnic. Basically, you're going to partake in the picnic. It's not even going to be work, really. And he just couldn't bring himself to commit to working on Friday. So I kept after him about 20 minutes. Finally, my phone rings, and it's one of my coworkers. He was gone away on lunch. He lives on the property. He says, listen, he says, I've been listening to you preach today, boy, for 20 minutes. All I know is that I'm showing up tomorrow. My walkie-talkie was stuck on the on position. So everybody in my coworkers, my boss included, heard me preaching to this young man. Everybody's like, yeah, I'll be here Friday. Unfortunately, the young man did not show up. So he has to show up on Monday and face me. Right? As my son would say, that's not a pleasant thing to do. Right, Jesse? Well, anyhow, Pastor John's been speaking on the Holy Spirit. Correct? You guys can agree with me with that? Right? Now, I looked it up, and on Sunday morning, he spoke 19 times so far. And then he spoke one time in one of the Wednesday night growth seminars. So that's 20 times that he's given a teaching in some aspect of who the Holy Spirit is. Patience, love, right? He continues on with that theme throughout the year, the Holy Spirit. And we've heard and listened to the teachings, if you've been here, if you've listened to them online. And that's what he's talking about. And my question is, and what I love about Donovan's teaching, if you guys missed it, he had a great series, a four-week series. I love the fact that I can attend those classes on a Sunday morning. It's a little selfish because I don't have to go into the mine and dig out all that gold. I can let Donovan do it. I can let Bob do it. I can let Ray do it. I can let Fred do it. They have to go into that mine just like I had to go into the mine to dig out the gold so that you guys have something. Donovan was passing out gold this morning. I feel bad for those that weren't there because you didn't even have to work for it. You just had to be there. And I appreciate the work that you did, Kathy. We all know who did the work. Right? But with that being said, 20 times Pastor John has spoken about the Holy Spirit. And the one thing that God impressed upon me is that even though we hear this, even though we hear it over and over, as Ray said, you come into the sanctuary, you come into worship, how easy it is to lose sight of God, to lose sight of Christ. It's so easy for us to lose sight of God, to lose sight of who he is and who he says he is. It doesn't take much. There are so many distractions in this world. Can you agree with that? So many distractions that are trying and vying for our time. As kids, school, you're going to be going back to school. They'd consider that a distraction after a summer vacation. They don't consider it a privilege or an honor. It becomes a distraction to go back to school, to go back to that task, to that responsibility. Everybody here have tasks and responsibility besides Bob? Bob doesn't have any anymore. He's retired. Right, Bob?
Yes, sir.
So much so that Sharon had to give him a big, huge task and responsibility, and that's a new house. His list got down too far. He thought he was done. He just accomplished remodeling the house that he was living in. Got everything just the way he wanted, and she said, okay, we're going to start again. You thought you were off the hook, didn't you?
I thought so.
You know? But that's not true. We all have tasks and responsibilities that we have to perform, each and every one of us, right? And those tasks and responsibilities can actually cause us to lose sight sometimes of Jesus because we get so focused on them, so enthralled with them, that that's all we see. Anybody here in a ministry? Did you know that a ministry can take your focus off of Christ? You see a lot of churches out there that are focused on a ministry and got nothing to do with seeing Jesus. They're focused on building up their ministry and not pointing everybody towards Christ, not pointing everybody towards Jesus. Even me getting up here, you're not to see me. My hope is that you see and catch a glimpse of who Jesus is. And that's the whole idea of this, that it's so easy to lose sight, to lose focus. We sung all these songs. You guys were there? You sung all them songs. And one of the things that I had listened to with my wife is that it's easy to lose the wow factor, the wonder of who Christ is and what he's done for us. I mean, we come in here and we sing of the glory of God, and it almost becomes a routine. It almost becomes, man. I mean, for all of us, I got to go to church today. It becomes an act. And we lose that wow factor because we've done it so much. You guys are here week after week. You come in and it's like, okay. Yep. Yep. Sounds good. Yep. That's Jesus. And we lose that wow factor of who he is. Maybe we never seen who he is. We never realized, had a revelation of who he is. For me, I want that to deepen. I want to go deeper. I want to have a greater revelation. And I want to be wowed. So if there's things in my path, if there's things in my mind's eye, if there's things that are just always on my mind, and it's not him, I want it to be him. I want to be wowed when it comes to worshiping him. When it comes to singing of the great things that he's done, I want to be wowed because of what he's going to do. Pastor John got up here and talked about a miracle. Wow. Wow. And sometimes we just lose sight of the wow. Like, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And maybe it's because there's so many things that Christ has done that you couldn't contain them anyhow if you stop to think about it. You know, one of the songs we sung is being in his presence. Not doing anything but being in his presence. Wow. I mean, we get a glimpse of it today, but later it's going to be face to face. You're going to be in his presence. And I want us to get that wow factor back. To really have that wow factor. Have you lost your sight? Have you lost your sight? Have you lost your gaze upon Christ and what it is that he means? Have you got caught up in all the trials and tribulations, the storm of life like Peter? Caught up in the storms and the waves. We look at the storms and waves sometimes and we say, wow. We look at the way this world is going and we can say, wow. And it wants to overshadow who Christ is. It wants to overshadow what it is that he's doing. It wants to overshadow him so much that we think that he's not in control, that somehow he doesn't see what's going on, that he doesn't know what's going on. I had looked it up witnesses to have one's vision of someone fade because of distance or an obstruction. There's things it's not that you don't see him, he fades. You don't see as clearly as what you would want to see in the midst of what's going on. To forget to consider someone or something. To stop considering something. To forget about an important idea or a fact because you are thinking too much about another. How many here, and you don't have to raise your hands because we're all guilty of it, how many here have come to church and about this time you're thinking of something else that you got to do, that you need to do as soon as you get out of here? It happens. And the thing is, you want to know that it happens so that you can put a stop to it, so that you can refocus, you can redirect your thoughts and say, this time is for him. This time is holy. We gather here because this time is holy. We gather here, why? One with another. Why? Why do we gather one with another? To be encouraged. Some of us come from the perspective that this is the end of the weekend. The weekend ended Saturday. This is the beginning of the week. This is what we set our hearts to at the beginning of the week, so that we can bring the glory of God wherever we go. This ain't the end of it. We get in the world's way, the world's view of things, and this is the end of the week. Oh, this is the end of the week. If only I had one more day. This is the beginning of the week. This is the most treasured day of the week because it's the beginning. You're starting out with God. You're putting God first in what you're going to be doing for the whole week. That's the sight that we need to have. This is the beginning, not the end. We don't live for the week without God being in every aspect of it. Some of the questions we can ask ourselves to be more effective. This is what I like about Donovan's teaching. He's always asking questions. He had why up there, and why, and why, and why. And I'll read this scripture, and then I ask myself, why did they do that? And I think we need to ask more of the why so that we can answer it. Why did you come here today? That's a good question. Why did you come here today? Why did you want to listen to this particular message? You know, if you don't have a good reason, you could have been out golfing. You could have been doing something else. So yet, why? And if you came here and you can answer your why, your purpose, there's a purpose behind it. Is it the one that God intended? Always ask, why am I doing this? Why are you doing this? Why are you gathering together with your brothers and sisters in Christ? That's a good question to ask. Is it to partake of the teaching upstairs? Is it to partake of breakfast? Is it to partake of worshiping one with another, of people of like mind? What's your purpose and why? What part does this play in my long-term vision, my why, life goals, etc.? Do you have a long-term vision of where you want to be? We hear that statement, and Donovan had quite a few statements. I just want to get through the week. Just get me through the week. Our vision gets very short and narrow-sighted. And we say statements like that, we have to ask, why? Why am I saying, just get me through this week? There's things going on that would cause you to think that way, to cause you to see things that way and respond that way. Whether it be exam week. When exam week comes up, people are, just get me through this week. Just get me through this week. Because you'll see the pressure steps up. The focus gets intense. You're trying to accomplish a purpose and a goal. And it gets intense. There's a season for that. And we can say, why? We want to get through this week so that we can slow that intensity down, so we can rest in a sense. But even when we rest, and how we rest is important. How do we rest? A lot of people try to rest in many different ways, right? They try to find different outlets, different avenues, different hobbies to find their rest. They just don't want to think about anything. They want to think about nothing. No, they think about something, even when you're trying to think about nothing. Anybody ever able to think about nothing? Bob, you're able to think about nothing? No. So we have to turn around and ask our why. So what are our eyes fixed on? Right now, if you were to ask everybody what your eyes are fixed on, it's going to be something different for each of us. And it may be the first thing that we go to might have the most of our attention. Maybe it's the aches and pains. For Joe, last week, it seemed to be one of the difficulties he was going through with some of his friends, some of his clients. He couldn't help but be fixed on the situation. But what did Joe do? He went to his wife, and the two of them fixed their eyes on Jesus for the answer for that situation. They knew where to go. So even in the midst of a situation you find yourself in, even in the midst of focusing on that situation, you're to look beyond that situation. Because beyond that situation, when you look to Christ, there's the answer. And that answer may not come right away, but it's still there. He holds the answer. Now, usually when he holds the answer, if you know anything about Jesus, you'll say, you have the answer, and you'll ask him a question, and he doesn't give you the answer, he'll ask you a question back. So I'm sure Joe and Alex went, and they asked the question, he probably asked, so have you prayed about this? And they go, well, okay, let's start praying about this situation. He might not even gave him the answer, but he set him out with a question, and they begin to pray about the situation. And then through that prayer, there was some discernment, some insight into the situation. And the misunderstandings, as he said, started to come to light. And they were able to clear those misunderstandings up. I find that so interesting how God works, how he's faithful. You got a Bible teacher, Tony Evans. I don't know if any of you ever heard of him. But he tells of a farmer who was teaching his son to plow with a mule, to make straight furrows. He says, son, just pick out an object beyond the field and keep your eyes fixed on it. The boy nodded his understanding, and the farmer left. When he came back an hour later, the farmer was shocked to see a field of twisted furrows. He says, what happened, son? I thought I told you to keep your eye on an object beyond the field. He said, I did, Dad, the boy replied, pointing to the standard that he chose. He had chosen a cow and an adjoining pasture. So it's important to choose the right standard. Otherwise, you're going to be doing this through your life. You can save yourself so much time, so much grief, so much misunderstanding by choosing the right standard, choosing to fix your eyes on Christ. There are so many people in this world that have the best of intentions, that are sincere, but have sincerely chosen the wrong standard. And they're going to come to the end of that journey only to find out that they missed the mark. After all the effort, all the time, all the sacrifices that they may have made. And trust me, they seem, some of these religions out there, they make some sacrifices that are, wow. But they're still missing the mark. Because their standard is wrong. And for them, it might not even be wrong by a lot. For some of them, it's only wrong because they refuse to believe that it is only through Christ that they can get to heaven. One thing. But that one thing is what's going to turn on and keep them out. Now that's a humorous story, and it holds a serious lesson, whether you're plowing a field or running a race called the Christian life. It's been compared to running a race. It's critical that you keep your eyes on the right target despite all the great men and women of faith the Hebrews had just read about. Only Jesus himself was worthy of their undivided loyalty and attention. We can draw upon men of faith. I love Pastor John and Pastor Don, Bob, and all these people that bring forth the Word of God. but it's there to point us to Jesus. It's there as a witness, a testimony. Their lives are a witness and a testimony that I too can be changed. I too, when focused upon Christ, when my sight and my gaze is upon Jesus, can be transformed, can be renewed, can glorify God. So we fix our gaze upon Him. There's a famous illustration, and it's about running a race. It's on May 6, 1954, it says Roger Bannister became the first man in history to run a mile in less than 4 minutes. Wow. I'd be lucky if I can drive a mile in less than 4 minutes. Especially through Melvindale, the speed limit's kind of low. Right? But he's able to run a mile in less than 4 minutes, the first man. Within 2 months, John Landy eclipsed the record by 1.4 seconds. It says, on August 7th, 1954, the two met together for a historic race. As they moved into the last lap, Landy held the lead. It looked as if he would win, but as he was neared the finish, he was haunted by the question, where is Bannister? As he turned to look, Bannister took the lead. As he turned to look, he lost the lead. He lost sight of that finish line, of that goal. He lost sight of the prize, the reason why we're running. We come into the sanctuary, and a lot of times we're looking to the left and the right. Who's here? Who's not here? Our focus is not on Christ. It's on those around us a lot of times. What they're doing, what they're not doing. This is a time for Him, to keep our gaze upon Him. Sodom and Gomorrah, you guys heard that story. Lot and his wife. They were rescued. Right? God was going to destroy the city. Told him to get out. He lingers. Doesn't really want to leave. He lingers. They have to grab him by the hand, him and his family, right? And drag him out. And as they're dragging him out, his wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. Sometimes we spend too much time looking back and not looking forward. We look back at where the church has come. What do we got to look forward to? What are you looking forward to? What are you looking forward to this week? Is there something that jumps out at you that you're looking forward to, that you're excited about, that you're passionate about, that you're enthused about? You have to ask, what am I enthused about this week? Is it going to be the Wednesday night class? Are you enthused about that? Are you passionate about that? Or have you lost sight of the value of that class? The value of somebody taking the time to dig that gold out of the mine and present it. The value of the banquet table. Or do we have, and we've been deceived, I've been to many banquets. It's just another banquet. Marriage retreat. How many here have been to a marriage retreat before? Does not the thought sometimes come in? I've been to one before. My marriage is good. I'm okay. Do you lose sight that it's something you have to work at all the time? It's not something that you don't have to work at? We were listening to a tape, and it was funny. I thought it was funny. My wife probably didn't. But the guy says to his wife, well, don't you love me? He says, well, of course I love you. I told you that when we got married 25 years ago. If it changes, I'll tell you. You know, but for women, they need to be told often. They need to be reaffirmed, reassured. Insecurity is one of the things that the devil uses to knock on their door. Are they appreciated? Are they loved? We as men, we need to not lose sight of the gift that God's given us and our wife. We need not to lose sight of the gift God's given us in our kids. We can lose sight of it. There's times for all of us, that your kids may drive you crazy. And you have that tendency to lose sight of the gift because they're doing that at that time. But they are a gift from God. They are to be cherished. You know, they are to have that time with you. It got to the point with us, with our kids, one of the things that we had to do, because they were all vying for our attention, and there's four of them, we had to start setting up date days to have an individual date with each one of them, to give them our undivided attention, and then have the big day. It was that, and it was plus the budget, because they wanted to do it every week. Well, we can take one out a week, 4 weeks, and then everybody can go the fifth week. But we can't take all of you and you guys expect to get everything that you want or do what you want to do. You know, but it worked out best for that. And I still incorporate that. And I tell my wife, now that the kids are grown and they're spending a lot of time away from the house, I said, now it's, you know, that reaping and the sowing, that's a whole other teaching. But now that we've sown into these kids, my wife is supposed to reap the benefits, and now they're supposed to come and take her out. I says, it works out perfect. You do it once a week, each one of you, and then the fifth week you can all take me and her. And they've lost sight of that. I don't understand. They've lost sight of that. Right? So these things that vie for our attention, are they worthy? We have to ask her, are they worthy for our attention? Truly. What we give our time to, what we give our energy to, what we give our passion to, our enthusiasm, is it worthy of our attention? We as Christians, we're always saying, man, I need to read the Word some more. If only I was able to study the Word some more. I just don't have the time. Well, maybe we lost sight of where our time goes. I've asked my kids before, write down where your time goes. They don't want to do that. Because they know that it's time wasted in there. There's time given over to things that are not worthy, that have no value, that are not, it's not going to build us up. It's not going to build others up. It's not worthy of our time. Yet we find ourselves giving ourselves over to those things. We think somehow, and we have to ask why. Why do we believe doing that very thing is going to be beneficial? Do we see the fruit of that? Pastor John's been talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. How many here want to really have that fruit in their life in abundance? In abundance. It's hard to do because your life is not your own. Having fruit in abundance means that you're going to be doing things. You're going to be working at things. There's tasks that you have to do. And sometimes them tasks, there's no recognition in them. There's no real appreciation in doing it. Maybe over and over you do the same task, and you don't see no appreciation from those that you're doing it for. They don't really think about it. They lost sight of the fact that somebody comes in here and cleans the church. There was a video that we watched that I really liked. It was that magic basket of clothes that appears every day. You guys ever see that video? There's such a thing out there. There's a magic basket that appears with clean clothes. The gentleman throws his dirty clothes in it, and within a couple of days, that basket is there with clothes that are clean and filled and folded. Yet his wife is yelling at him because she doesn't get no help and no appreciation for the things she does. He says, "Oh, but you gotta understand the magic basket." I don't know if it's just something that's revealed to me, or if it's the table that it sits on. But maybe you should try it. And she gets mad and she storms off. Next thing you know, the police are standing there and he's filling out a report that his wife disappeared. And he says, "I don't know what happened. Maybe she touched the table and she's gone. I don't know. And the police officer, the gentleman, he's saying, I got the same table at my house. It very well could happen. Sometimes we think that things just magically happen. That the kids in a Sunday school, they just magically get taught. There's actually people that are sacrificing right now. And I say sacrificing in a light term because they're not able to hear me live. They have to do it off of the MP3. Right, Betty? So I think it's a big sacrifice because they don't see me live. They may not. They may not even listen to me. Right? But they're sacrificing right now to be able to bring that word to your kids. They're sowing into the next generation. And it isn't just about sacrificing today. They did it on Wednesday. They did it during the week, preparing for a teaching. They made that sacrifice. Fred, you ever make a sacrifice? No? Fred's the only one that doesn't have to sacrifice. Right? Fred gets called out into the deep. We call it called out. He gets pushed out of the boat. Says, Fred, you need to walk on water. You need to go meet Jesus. Right? He's like, why me all the time? Why not? Fred's like, okay. Fred is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. I love that about him and his wife. They are faithful. We can lose sight of the precious people, the brothers and sisters we have in Christ. We can start looking at what their weaknesses are instead of what their strengths are. We see them in their ugly moment instead of the moment in which they're beautiful. If you're around anybody long enough, you're going to see both. But it's you that has to choose to focus on what you want to focus on. As the word says, we can get busy taking the log out of our own eye and let God worry about the speck in our brother's. I got enough things in my life that I don't need to go around picking the speck out of everybody else's eye. But do we see that beauty, or have we lost sight of it? One of the things that God brought to my attention is that Christ came to this earth and he was on a journey of building his Father's kingdom, of glorifying his Father. And that journey's continued. I remember the two disciples walking with him on the road to Emmaus and then not even really seeing Jesus for who he was. Yet they had a burning in their heart. And I remember going to where I work at Gateway and thinking, this is a continuation of Christ's journey. Why? Because he lives and dwells within me. But when I go there, they might not even realize it because they're only going to get a glimpse. Because I'm not perfected. I'm not fully sanctified. I haven't been fully regenerated. But they can, and at times they get a glimpse of Christ depending on what they're choosing to look at. Just like that 20-minute, as they say, preaching sermon that they heard over the walkie-talkie. They're like, preaching, you're going to, because I tell them all, I'll be preaching Sunday, teaching Sunday. So you're preaching now. And Jesse's like, you guys will get used to it. You know? But that's just it. You're on a journey to build his kingdom, to glorify him. Wow. Yes, he chose us. And every one of us would look at ourselves and remember, why did you choose me? Why not? Why not? Why did he choose you, Matt? He knows of the giftings he's instilled in you more than you know of them, possibly. Rachel, who would have known that she had the gift to sing? How often does she sit in that pew, never singing, up on stage? Now God's drawn that gifting out of her to sing, to glorify him. Who would have known that Ken had the gift of talk? Well, I thought he was mute. And then that was dispelled when I heard him talk about sports with Brian. Then he wouldn't be quiet. But the word of God that comes out of him, that's been stored up. Now there's a season which God's drawn that out of him. Wow. That's God. Do you see God working? Do you see Christ working? When you're fixed upon somebody, do you see Christ? What are you looking at when you... All right, this is a challenge. What are you looking at when you see Bob? What do you see? Do you see Christ? Now, we might have to stare a while. We might have to meditate a while, right? But deep down, under that exterior of always kidding around, joking, his humor, you see the heart of God. You see the heart of God to have teachers raised up, bringing forth that word. It goes back beyond him, his grandfather, as he spoke of this morning. Sharing the heart of God. Bob having stories to share of his grandfather sharing the heart of God. There will be stories of us sharing about Bob sharing the heart of God and us sharing them stories. Because you see him sharing the very heart of God. But it's easy to lose sight of that. It's easy to lose sight of that. To see what we want. To see things through God's eyes is awesome. It's like, wow. Wow, you can look at your enemy and see him through God's eyes. And you're like, wow. Because you have a sincere empathy for them being lost. Knowing the road they're on. You might even, God may even reveal the hurts that they've experienced. That they've carried all their life. The bondage that they're in. The chains that are wrapped around them. Wow. You're able to bring the very words of life to set them free. Or you can bring the words to crush them some more. We have the words of life to set people free, to set the captives free. I say wow because Christ set me free. I say, wow, because Pastor John made himself available. Christ, through Pastor John, set me on a straighter path. Continues to put me on a straight path. Continues to put me where I need to go. Continues to adjust my focus and my gaze upon Christ. He's done that faithfully for me. He might not even realize the extent that his life has impacted mine. But wow. I appreciate it. I appreciate what you and Carol have done. Wow. I appreciate the sacrifices that Pastor Don and Laura have made. Wow. I appreciate all the people that have taught my kids. That legacy that I have wasn't just me. Wow. Thank you. I am grateful for what you have done. I'm grateful for you guys' commitment to this body, to this church, to each other, to raising up a standard, to waving a banner that is worthy to be raised, and that's Jesus Christ. And every one of you have taken part in that. Every one of you. Wow. Now we can focus on what Christ is doing here through the Holy Spirit. Wow. And the wonder that we have and the fact that we are part of that. I want to be a part of that. I want that. I want to give my all into that wow. And I want you to give your all into that wow, because then you're going to be sitting here saying, wow, I never seen things that way. God, reveal yourself in each and every one of us. I want to see the wonder of God in each and every one of us. It's there. He lives and dwells with each and every one of us if we've asked him into our life. We keep looking over here and over there and over here, and it's in front of you. He has drawn near to you and each other. Just to be in your presence. Just to sit here in his presence Wow. That he's gathered each one of us who were lost, hurting, and brought us together, made us a family. You know he made us a family because we can get on each other's nerves, just like in a family. It's like, oh my gosh. Yet, we're committed to one another. It is awesome to take part in that, to be a part in that, to be the active, living body of Christ here on earth representing him in this area. We represent him to these kids, as Pastor John said, in the high school. Wow. Generations being touched. A witness, a testimony of the glory of God right here. Right here. God's glory. I'm amazed that I get to take part in it. Right now. God's glory. The blessings that he's bestowed upon us. If you were to list them, we'd be here for days, weeks, years. The blessings. It's amazing. The stories. You read about the stories in the Word. Wow. You read about the stories written on our hearts, our lives, and it's wow. Amen. What are our eyes fixed on? That's what we ask ourselves. Let's not lose sight of the wonder and the wow of Jesus Christ and what he's done in restoring the relationship that God wanted with us. Amen. All right, if I can have the prayer team come up. I'm going to close in prayer. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today, Lord God. I thank you that you've gathered each and every one of us here, Father God, just to partake of your glory, of who you are, Lord God. I thank you for Jesus Christ. I thank you for the Holy Spirit, Father God. Lord, I pray that you just continue to open our eyes to see you, that our gaze would be fixed upon you, Father God, that we can come to you, Father God, in prayer. We can come to you with our supplications, with our hurts, with our concerns, our desires, our hopes, our dreams. We can come to you, Lord God. In the midst of the storm, we can come to you, Lord God. In the midst of all the trials, we can come to you, Lord God. For you are ever present, Lord God. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, Father God, we thank you. Amen.